Good morning, church. Everybody hear me? Nobody not hear me? Okay, good. Thank you. I want to thank you for allowing me to come and speak to you this morning. I've been living in this area since 1982, living in the state of Washington since 1976. And I'm from West Texas. And my wife is not here this morning because she is in West Texas. She went down. She still thinks that's her home. And she's there. And by the way, if I'm not dressed properly this morning, it's because of her. She's gone. She normally gets up and gets me dressed every Sunday morning. And I remember when first began to preach, I'd get up and start getting dressed and get my clothes on. And she'd look up, laying in the bed, and she'd look at my tie. I would start putting a tie on. She'd say, so I'd get another tie and put it on, and she'd look at it and say, finally I'd get the right one. She'd do that. One morning I got up and I put on my tie, and she says, I said, there's nothing wrong with this tie. I'm going to wear it. So I put it on and wore it. And every time I would go up and shake somebody's hand, they'd look me in the eye, and then they'd look right down at my tie, what I had. So I listen to her now and what she says. But anyway, her name's Dottie, and she's in Texas. She's been here. She came last time we came, visited with you guys. I want to thank you for allowing me to speak to you this morning. This is a result, I think, of a meeting that we started back in November of last year when the churches in this area began to meet together. The preachers or leaders in the area began to meet together. And Paul Hawthorne and I have been knowing one another since 1976, and we used to meet together and study together at times. And we know that the Lord said in Matthew 16, verse 18, that he built only one church. And if we're that one church, we need to learn how to get along with one another and love one another. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And we're a body. I thought Jim was going to steal my lesson this morning in his class. He was talking about things that I want to talk about this morning. I'm going to be speaking from the book of Philippians. And in Philippians, I say the four P's, and actually it's just the idea of the P's in there. They're not actually peas we're talking about, but I want to go through and just run through it in a hurry, and then I'll come back and explain a little bit more about what I'm talking about. Number one on the outline that you have is our purpose. Philippians 1 verse 12, Paul will say, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now what's happened to Paul? Well, he's in a Roman prison, and he's been there for 5 years. And he's telling them, let me tell you what's happened to me. Don't worry about me. What's happened to me has really happened to advance the gospel. I think, man, I want to know more about that, if that's the case. And then in chapter 2, verse 5, he's going to remind them. He says, now the way that this gospel is going to go out, that's the purpose of the church, is the gospel going out. That was Paul's purpose, and that's our purpose, that the gospel be advanced. Now, think about the gospel being advanced in this area. How big is Kent? How many people live here? A bunch. How about Maple Valley? How about Auburn? Or Renton? Or Federal Way? In this area, I mean, it's thousands upon thousands. And you know what? Chad is not going to be able to take that message out from the pulpit here. He's not going to be able to reach the whole things if he went door to door. He wouldn't do it in his lifetime. It's going to take the whole church standing up and speaking out and going out. That's our purpose. And that's what I hope we see this morning. Now, the pattern, he said, in order to get this done, Philippians 2, verse 5, he says, have this attitude or have this mind in you that's in Christ Jesus. We need to think like Jesus thought and to have our minds changed. The only way we're going to have our minds changed is to go to the book and let the book tell us how he thought and why he thought the way he did. It's so easy for us to get caught up in a tradition and just go through the motions of Christianity in our traditional way and look at the denominational world or look at the world on how it reaches out and use their methods. We need to go back to the book and let the book tell us how to take this message out to the lost, because that's our purpose. And then in chapter 3, verse 14, Paul's going to tell us here, says, I press on toward the goal to take hold of the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And we'll come back to that too, but pressing on, that's something that we need to learn how to do. None of us have reached that goal yet. We're not there. Paul said, I'm not there yet. I'm still pressing on to take hold of that goal. And then number 4, the provision, Philippians 4, verse 19, and he said, and my God will supply all of your needs. My God, according to his glorious gift in Christ Jesus. My God. I wonder why he didn't say your God or our God. Because the truth of the matter is, he didn't know what was in their hearts. I don't know what's in your heart. All I know is what's in my heart. And I can say, my God will supply all of our needs. I assume he's in all of your hearts too. And your God is the one that will do that. But let's go back to the purpose. Philippians 1 verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what's happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now we know that the gospel is the most important thing on God's mind. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his son, right? Now, God is concerned about the lost. He cares about them. He loves them. And he wants them saved. He wants your next door neighbor saved. And your coworker. And your family members, and all those people you know, he wants them saved. And let me tell you what, they're not going to come into this building. Most of them will not. We're going to have to go to them. And I think, brethren, when we come together and we take communion, take the Lord's Supper, all that is a reminder that we're the body of Christ. We come in here, we break off of it, and I'll say, I'm part of this body, and I'm part of this body, and you're part of this body. We're all part of the body, and God is going to use us and work through us. Take of the fruit of the vine, and I'm saying with the fruit of the vine, I'm faithful to this covenant. I have done my will this last week for you, God, and I'm telling you and everybody else that I've done that. I've been faithful. And if I'm faithful to that covenant, the gospel's going to be going out. That's his point. John chapter 4, verse 34, Paul will say, my food is to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. If I never eat another piece of bread or drink another drink, I'm going to do God's will. That was what Jesus was on his mind. And after he died and was with his apostles for 40 days, before he ascended up, says, go and preach the gospel, the good news to all creation. There's that advancing the gospel to all creation, whoever believes and is baptized to be saved. That's what he told the apostles. There's a verse that I want to just throw out, and it's not on your outline, but just throw out, and it's in Luke 6, verse 40. NIV says, the student or the teacher, when he's fully trained, he's going to be just like his teacher. And so he just told them, go out and preach this gospel to people. And once they're believed and baptized them, then train them and send them out to do the same thing that you were taught to do. What do you suppose would happen if we did that? If everyone went out knowing that that was what their goal is for the next week, spreading the gospel or teaching this gospel. I want to just do a little review of, I'll just hit on it, just touch it some places on this, on where Paul was for the 5 years previously. I want you to know that what's happened to me has served really to advance the gospel. And we'd have to go to Acts chapter 21. Acts 21 through 28 is the time Paul's talking about, that whole section of time, about 7 chapters there. But he's going to say, remember he went back to Jerusalem and he was taking a collection that he'd taken up to the poor people in Jerusalem and poor saints there. So he shows up and is at the temple and the people are upset with him. And so the mob gets him, drags him out of the temple, and they're trying to kill him, beating him to death. And commander of the Roman government comes in and stops him. And they said, man, this guy must be somebody bad, you know, for trying to beat him and kill him like that. So he's taking him away and probably taking him away to beat him some more. And when he gets up to going up on this lift. He gets up a ways, and Paul says, "Can I speak to the people?" And he spoke to him in Greek. And the guy says, "You speak in Greek? I thought you were the Egyptian." He said, "No, I'm not the Egyptian. I'm a Jew. I'm a Hebrew." And he said, "Can I speak to the people?" And so the guy says, "Okay." And then Paul spoke to thousands of people that day that he was arrested, that tried to kill him. And he spoke the gospel to them, and at the very end of it, then the people don't like it, and so they're outraged, and the officer takes him and says, "Put him in chains in a jail." And he's in chains in the jail, and he brings in the Sanhedrin, says, "The officer doesn't know what's going on." He says, "I don't know why these people are trying to kill him. He must be a real bandit, or must have murdered somebody the way they're treating him. He must be bad." So we bring in the Sanhedrin to try to find out what's happened. And Paul gets to speak the gospel, preach the gospel to the Sanhedrin. 70 leaders of this Jewish faith and elders. And so they don't like it, and they get in an uproar. And the commander says, "Okay, I'm going to have to get him out of here, because 40 men have decided that they're not going to eat or drink anymore until they kill Paul." I guess they're still hungry and thirsty. You know, didn't get it done because they shipped him to Caesarea. In Caesarea, while he's there, he gets to speak to who? Well, he speaks to Felix, the governor. Now, I haven't spoken to many governors lately. You know, he speaks to the governor there, and the high priest is brought down, and elders are brought down, and Paul gets to preach the gospel to them. And then he stays in jail for 2 years. And Felix, all Felix wants is a little bribe, and he'll let him go. Paul says, "I'm not going to pay a bribe. That's not right. That's against the law, against what the government is, so I'm not going to pay that." He stays in jail for 2 years. 2 years later, Festus comes to be governor, and he gets to speak to that governor and his wife. And then Agrippa comes in. King Agrippa comes, and Paul is able to preach the gospel to Agrippa and to his wife and to all those that will listen. Well, then he's being shipped off to Rome, and he's put on a ship. Instead, on that ship, he gets to speak to the soldiers, the commanders of the soldiers that are guarding him, and the prisoners and the sailors. And in chapter 27, verse 37, it'll say there were 276 people. We don't have that many people here today, do we? On that one ship, he's got 276 people that he's preaching the gospel to. And so he gets on the island of Malta, where he's shipwrecked, and on that island, he gets to speak to the governor there, and all the people on that island he gets to speak the gospel to. Finally, he makes it to Rome. And in Rome, we know that he was preaching the gospel there in Rome. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 22 says, all the saints, at the end of his letter, he's writing his letter off to the Philippians and said, what's happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. People have heard the gospel everywhere. And I want you to know that all the people that I'm writing that are with me and I'm writing this letter, they send you their greetings, especially the household of Caesar. And so here God is able to take what we are willing to do, that we just able to speak when we have that opportunity, and God takes that and the gospel goes out. Did you know that the devil can't put us any place where we can't share or the gospel can't go out from us? I have people that I visit with in the hospital that are talking to their doctors and their nurses. Jim had a thing this morning. He was saying, we ought to have a way that we get people to talk with us. And one of the things I've challenged our group to do is to just ask people, do you believe in God? And if they say yes, I don't care if they say yes or no. I'm going to say why. You know, why don't you believe, or why do you believe? And then get them to explain that. And then after next time you see them, or later on, you'll say, well, do you believe the Word of God? The Bible is the Word of God. And why? And get them to explain that. I think as Christians, we need to learn to listen to what people are saying. And we've learned to listen, we're going to be able to respond back. We don't have to come up and just tell them to shut up. Here's the real truth of the matter. I don't think that's what that's about. I think we're to learn to communicate with people. I had my doctor just a couple weeks ago. I was in seeing a doctor, just a regular checkup. And I asked him if he believed in God. And he said, Well, yeah, I'm a Catholic, but I also believe in evolution. I said, does your Pope know that? No, I didn't say that, but anyway, I'm thinking, you know, he wanted me to know he's an evolutionist. I was visiting a lady in the hospital, and I was having a doctor came in wondering to check her out, so I said, well, let's have a prayer. Could we have a prayer before I leave? So he stayed in there, and I prayed. When it got through, I asked him, I said, do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? Just got a question to ask you. He said, yeah, I do. And I said, would you tell me why? And it's like he backed up three steps. Why? And then he said, well, I guess because my parents told me about it. He first said, I believe in a higher power is what he said. And then he said, I guess because my parents taught me that. And then I've had other people, since I've been challenging them to ask that, will say they ask their doctors or their anybody that they're around, they have opportunity to ask. And it's amazing what people will say if you just sit back and listen to them. I think there's a way for us to take the gospel out on people's levels. We have to learn how to do it. We don't just take the Bible out and say, let me tell you what God said, and go to the place in the Bible. I've done that, and that don't work so well. We need to talk with people on their level and then get them to the book. And people will generally go to the book when they learn to respect you and believe that you believe what you believe, and that they can see that they want to understand something, that you have some information that they need. Point number two on this outline was the pattern. And says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. This word attitude is pharneo, and I'm not a Greek, can't speak Greek, but that's the word, pharneo. And it's translated in the NIV, seven different words is used for that particular one word. I looked in the King James, and it's translated with three different words. And basically, that word means your attitude, your mind, your thinking, your feeling, your viewpoint, your concerns, and it's translated in those different words. But he's basically getting to the point, it's the way that we think and the way we feel and what we're concerned about should be what Jesus was concerned about as Christians. Now, a lot of times our concern is our jobs and our livelihood. And our, what else? We could just put everything down there we want to put down there, what our concerns are about. And Jesus and God's concern is secondary. God, I'll give you a little bit of my time, but don't ask for too much of it. You know, what's the prayer when he taught them? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, my kingdom come, right? No, thy kingdom come, right? Your kingdom come, not mine, right? And so your kingdom come, and what we want, our attitude should be, God, I want you to have first place in my life. I believe Jesus said that in Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first, what? His kingdom. And let God consume my life and my thinking. And you know what? That's not easy to do, is it? Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 33, even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they might be saved. I'm more concerned about those that are lost than I'm about my own welfare. Are you there yet? I still have a struggle with me and wanting my way. And I struggle with that, and I believe that's why Christians need each other. I think that's why we meet together, to encourage one another. Sometimes I want to run away and shut up and want to give up, throw up my hands. And I need somebody to listen to what I'm saying and listen to why. And they say, okay, now let's go back. Remember what God said. He's in absolute control. Do you believe that? Yes, I do. I just needed you to remind me so that I can do what's right. Does anybody have any trouble like that besides me? You say, yes, we do. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's what Paul said. So that's what we all want. We all want the mind of Christ. And then number three, pressing on. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heaven in Christ Jesus. I want to just focus on that word press on, because in the Greek, that's dioko. And like I said, I'm not a Greek, so I have trouble understanding what the Greek is. But that word is translated in the New Testament 45 times. And did you know that 30 of those times it's used for persecution? Persecuted or persecution. And so what that's saying is, I persecute myself toward the goal. I make myself go toward the goal that God wants me to go toward. And it hurts. Remember one time Paul will say, what was it? I buffet my body daily. Now, I'm sure we have some athletes in here. The athletes, you remember that practice was something. Did anybody like practice? I hated practice, man. The games are all right, but the practice is horrible. Remember one time we had a coach, football coach in Texas, and first year he came there, he would run us, and to the point where I would say, the last wind sprint, I'm not running one more. I'm quitting after this one, if he says one more. And it's like at that last one, he would say, okay, go to the house. Because I didn't have to quit. I get to be in there. But he knew how to push us to the very max to get what I wanted. And 3 years, he was there 3 years, and he won a state championship. One was up in the state champion runnings every year. But he was somebody who could push you to the max. That's what Paul is saying. He pushed himself to the max. You ever climb any, do any hiking or mountain climbing? Not mountain climbing, but hiking up hills and things. We're trying to get a group together to go hike up Rattlesnake Ridge. Anybody know where that is? It's a pretty good hike, 2 miles up, 2 miles down. It's pretty good for young people. That's not too bad, but for us oldies, it's a pretty good hike. But in order to do that, I've got to get myself in shape to do that. I can't just go out there and walk up that hill. We have to push ourselves. And that's what he's saying here. I press on toward the goal. I push myself. I make myself go beyond what I want to do. Do you do that in Christianity? We should, because that's what Jesus did. He got up a great while before daylight just to pray. And then the rest of his life was serving God. His total will was to accomplish God's will. That's what I wish I had on my mind all the time. That's what I want. And then in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul will say, because it's the power of God for salvation, everyone who believes, the Jew first and also for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. God's way of making us righteous is in the gospel. That's why he wants it advanced. That's why we have within our hands and in our minds, we have what the world needs to save their souls, to change their lives, to give them better relationships with their families, to give them... we could make this world better if people would listen by preaching the gospel and getting people to submit themselves to God. God has great things planned for us if we just listen. And then number four is a provision. Paul will say 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs. Anybody believe that? Every need we've ever had. Now, of course, my wants... that's nearly what we focus on, right? Our wants, you know. Our prayers. And look at our bulletin sometimes. We pray for safe trips. We pray for health issues. We pray for everything. Do we pray very much for God's will being done and the gospel going out to the lost? You ever request that? I have a neighbor that needs to hear the gospel, and I don't know what to say to him. I just don't know how to approach him. Would you pray for me? Give me wisdom so that I can have wisdom to talk to my neighbors. And help me to know just how to say it, when to say it, and how to have that relationship. God, would you pray for that? The God to open the mind of these people to listen? You suppose God does that? Would he hear the prayers if we were actually involved in praying for, and not just praying about it, but saying, God, use me. No, use Jim. Use Chad. Use somebody else to talk to him, because I'm just not a good talker. Who said that? I believe it was Moses, wasn't it? And what did God say to Moses? Who made your mouth, you know? Who made your mouth, Moses? What was it Jeremiah said? I'm just a child. I can't speak. Ezekiel didn't want to speak. Isaiah is the only one I know. And every once in a while you'll find some people that can't wait to get out and talk to people. Now, I'm not one of them. I wasn't that way. But Isaiah's response was, man, here am I. Send me. Just open the door and I'm out of here. Some people that way. Most of us are not. Most of us need to be pushed, encouraged, taken by the hand and led. We need help to get out and do that. That's why I think that Paul will write in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, God gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for what purpose? To prepare God's people to do the work that God gave them to do. That's our job. And I'll tell you what, that's a scary responsibility. But we have responsibility of finding the people that want to do what God wants them to do, bringing them in, sitting down with them, encouraging them, and helping them to realize that they're going to have to make the effort. You know, too often, and I say this about myself, too often I teach class and I teach classes. I can get up here and preach, and I can say what I want to say, and whether you hear it or not, that's a big deal. I got her done, and I did a good job. I can tell myself, you know, I did a good job. But is there a difference in teaching classes and teaching students? Yes. You teach a student, you know where they are and what they need, and you take that student and you make sure that that student knows. And did you know that you really won't learn how to do electricity or plumbing or building or driving unless you get behind a wheel, unless you do it? You know that? We know it. You have to put your hands on it. Pick it up and begin working with it, and eventually you can do it. You can't learn to cook by watching your mom cook. You have to pick it up and do it. You can't do anything. And the same is true in Christianity and with the gospel and teaching others. You have to desire to do it. You have to go that extra mile, push yourself so that you can take that gospel out to the lost. That's our purpose. That's what God intends for us to do. Philippians chapter 4, verse 20. Paul will say, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. To our God and Father. Now, he said, my God will supply all your need. My God will. But to our God be glory forever and ever. Romans 8, verse 28. God supplying our needs. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those that love him. Right? Those that have been called according to his purpose. God is able. He knows it. He knows what you need. Right where you sit. And he knows what I need, right where I am. And he's able to provide that. He can give me wisdom. He can give me strength. He can give me everything I need if I really want it. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, I really love this verse. No temptation has ever seized you except what is common to man. Say what? No temptation. For me to duck and dodge and get around doing what God wants me to do, it's been around since the beginning of time. Men have always wanted to dodge what God wants them to do and do what they want to do. No temptation has ever taken you. It's common. But this is the good part of that. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to endure. God knows exactly what you can take, and he knows exactly what I can take. He knew what Paul could take. And Paul, all the hardship that went on in Paul's life. Paul, do you know what he was saying in this letter? Hallelujah, you know, praise God. Everything that's happened to me happened for the advancement of the gospel. And that's what he wanted. the gospel to be preached. Now, that's the four P's of Philippians as I picked out. And that's what I wanted to leave you with and share with you this morning. There may be some here that are not Christian. And the scriptures teach us that we're to go preach the gospel to all the creation. Whoever believes the gospel, the good news, and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does will be condemned. Now, I don't know whether you've been baptized or not, but I do know that that's what God wants you to do. And baptism is not just a ritual just to go through the motion of baptism. Baptism is when you decide you want God in your life, and when you're baptized, you're saying to yourself and to everyone else that you're dying. It's not about you anymore. It's not about you anymore. Every letter just about that Paul wrote, he wrote to the church. But do you know he talks about baptism a lot in these letters? And he'll explain to them about baptism. But what he's doing, he's reminding them what they did. Because we need to be taken back there time and time again. Remember that we died. And baptism is not all there is. Once we died, we came out as babies in Christ. And then we grew into what God wants us to grow into. And a lot of times I do this. People, sometimes when I'm working with people that are having difficulties and are falling away, I try to take them back to their baptism. Remember what you did when you were baptized? Remember what you said? Remember the commitment you made? Okay. Now, let's go back to that and start all over again. God doesn't mind us starting over again. Do you know that? That's not a big issue with God. As long as we realize who we are and where we are, God says, okay, I can take you anywhere you are, and I can take you where I want you to be. Trust me in that. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And if there's anyone here that needs the prayers of this group, this congregation, need to make a recommitment of your life, we'd like to offer you that opportunity. And if anyone has not a child of God and wants to become a child of God, I'm sure the water, I haven't felt of it yet, but I'm sure it's nice and warm and clean. Looks clean over there now. I can see that part of it. So we're going to stand and sing this song of invitation, and if we can help you in any way, please let us know. Let's stand.